Welcome back to What's the Point, the podcast from Trinity Lutheran Church, where we discuss what's the point of all things church. And I'm super excited this Advent season for our new series, A Very Bonhoeffer Christmas.
I'm very excited.
Like, perhaps too excited.
Who wouldn't be excited about a very Bonhoeffer Christmas?
Right? And we're not talking about like a Hygge Christmas or a simplified Christmas. No, it's a Bonhoeffer Christmas.
And you have to say it like that. Bonhoeffer.
That's right.
Because it's German.
Because it's German. So it's a little angry. A little angry in there. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Bonhoeffer. That sounds like a little bit more like a donkey.
Dominic the Donkey?
Oh, yeah. That's more like a Cactus Christmas vibe.
Oh, stop.
We are in a new space today. Heather Day led the charge to switch our youth room locations to it's in a more friendly location now. So
it is.
We're in the new space.
I really like the setting for us so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it were darker, I would turn on the Christmas lights. One of our kids spent like a whole hour putting Christmas lights up in here on Wednesday. So
that's amazing. We could
flip those on.
Yeah. We're going to have to for episode two later.
Yeah.
So before we start, Heather and Katie are with me.
Hi.
No special guests.
Womp. No, just your regular.
Just your regular.
Just us.
Just your average people. My question for you all is, what are your Advent traditions? We've just kicked off Advent here at Trinity. So what are your Advent traditions, either growing up or that you have currently in your home?
Yeah, we don't really have any. Jake and I decided this year, aka I decided this year, that we would do like a little Advent calendar for each other. So we have just like itty bitty stockings, like maybe a couple inches tall and whatever, just to put little things in. Most of the stuff we got for each other doesn't fit. Like, it's not expensive stuff, but it's like, you know, the candy canes that you can get that are filled with other types of candy. Yeah, like things like that. So not super expensive, but just something for each. I think we're starting it on the 12th, maybe. Yeah, so I think we have like 12 or 13 days worth of stuff. But that's what we decided to do this year. We'll see if that continues. It's just kind of fun. But growing up, like my family's kind of boring. We didn't really have traditions like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say Advent. I have attempted over the years different Advent traditions that haven't really stuck. Mm. I mean, we have an Advent wreath, like our centerpiece thing for a table, and that has come out a couple times. Hasn't really been used very faithfully. We have occasionally had an Advent calendar with chocolate and or Legos.
That was the coolest year,
the Lego Advent calendar for the kids.
Was it like it built something?
It built something different each day. So just like either a little minifigure or like a little something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. So we have done some of that, but we have other, you know, like our family celebrates Saint Nick, which
is Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you. I was just checking my calendar quick. Like, oh, did I miss it? Yeah. And that's, you know, that's not something I, not a tradition I grew up with, but Herschel did. And so that's one that we have done in our house.
Leave your shoes out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Leave your shoes at the door the night of December 5th. And then Saint Nick comes and fills your shoes, your stinky, stinky shoes.
Gross.
With stuff. At our house, Saint Nick always brings Christmas jammies.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
And a few little treats.
Yeah.
A side note on that.
Yeah.
Olive last year put out all of her shoes, thinking,
oh my gosh,
I'm going to cash in.
Nice. I mean, my kids have big feet, so yeah, you do have to accommodate that.
Yeah.
I mean, Saint Nick does. So yeah, that's, you know, I don't know where to celebrate or where to make the, like, what's a Christmas tradition? What's an Advent tradition?
I
mean, we're big into like Christmas ornaments. I am big into Christmas ornaments. Let's be real about this. But yeah,
we'll get to talk more about those in the next episode. I just looked ahead. Uh-huh. I know. So don't spoil it.
Okay. What about you, Tom?
You know, growing up, at least from my perspective, we were pretty good at celebrating Advent. As a family, we would have like a family dinner every Sunday night, and an extended relative would come over every Sunday of Advent.
Oh, that's fine.
So it would be like we wouldn't have dinner with them often, and we'd invite them over.
Yeah.
Mm. And we'd always have like fresh baked cookies every weekend. So it'd be cookies at dessert time.
Oh,
and
nice.
My dad absolutely loved, like choral music around Christmas time. So we always had that on.
Yeah.
But we always would put on the Charlie Brown like soundtrack. Yeah. So that is just Christmas to me and Advent to me. But I hate to say it, my family's so busy right now.
Yeah.
We haven't a modified Advent wreath. For little ones.
Cute.
But we don't really do a whole lot of intentional things other than an Advent calendar.
Yeah.
And we just went to the Angel Breakfast last weekend. And so mm-hmm. Rowan's got his paper chain countdown sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
It broke apart. And so we had to redo it.
No.
But that was this morning's job. But no, so, I mean, we do some things. But I think once my kids are all kindergarten or, you know, preschool mm-hmm. up, we can establish better routines. Anyways, so we have these Advent traditions, but what is Advent, you might be wondering?
What is Advent,
Katie? What is Advent?
Advent is a time where we get to open up calendars and get chocolate, and it leads us
or
up
Legos.
To Christmas or Legos, and it leads us up to Christmas. And that's what I got for you today. Yeah. The end. Goodbye. See you guys next week.
I'll throw in, Advent is the time when Pastor Tom gets to wear his blue stole.
Oh, that too. Aww. You're right. Uh-huh. You're right. And we light candles during worship. I don't know why. Is it my birthday? Maybe.
and hope that nothing sets on fire. Not that has ever happened.
Never, ever in my experience.
Nope.
Nope. Advent is the countdown to Christmas Day, mm-hmm. all right? A lot of churches get that wrong, and I say that tongue-in-cheek because we do it wrong, too.
Oh, say more about that.
Okay, so Advent, again, is the countdown to Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Christmas Eve is technically still Advent, right? Yes. We're waiting for Jesus to be born, hence Christmas Eve, the day before. And so, however, the traditions for many congregations are to celebrate on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. So churches are usually decked out in white, which is the liturgical color for a high holiday in the Christian tradition centered around Jesus. But it's still Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. It's still Advent. It's supposed to be blue.
Mm.
So we get it wrong. But we also get it right, I guess.
So what will it be here on Christmas Eve? Will it still be blue?
It'll still be white.
It will. Oh, even though it's Advent 4 on...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The fourth Sunday of Advent is on
Christmas Eve.
We're going to be white.
And so we're, like here at Trinity, we're really condensing down Advent. It's supposed to be... Advent is the 4 weeks, the 4 Sundays leading up to the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. And so we had Advent 1 yesterday, mm-hmm. we'll have Advent 2 next week, and then Trinity, we have our Cantata. Mm-hmm. So we only get really 2 weeks of celebrating Advent in a traditional worship setting that we're accustomed to because of the Cantata on the 17th. So Christmas Eve will then be, poof, it's Christmas time. There is no Advent. There's no other Advent. So we've changed the readings and the calendar for the liturgical year.
Yeah.
Just to feel those Advent-y themes come through.
So I am hearing you indicate that you feel like Advent is getting shortchanged. Mm-hmm. Like Advent is actually this really important time that we maybe aren't recognizing or not letting it breathe enough.
Yeah, I'd say you're spot on, Heather. And a lot of congregations have extended Advent. They've just started earlier. And there's tradition that has started this for like a 7-week process, much like Lent. And that was done in the Middle Ages from time to time. There's records of that. And so we could easily do that. There is backing. Some congregations just didn't celebrate Christ the Sovereign Sunday, which is traditionally the last Sunday of the church year. And that tradition, as Pastor Patrick told us before doing a dance and song, song and dance, was, hopefully that's stuck in your ear now, Pastor Patrick, if you're listening, was they started Advent, Advent 1 on that day instead of celebrating that because it started back in the 20s. Christ the Sovereign or Christ the King. So it's a 100-year-old, roughly, church celebration. So it's not like there's super big precedent to to continue that. So it's more flexible than I first thought. So anyways, Advent does, it needs time. And I think we shortchange it because we're so darn busy.
And because we're so excited to just get to Christmas.
Yeah.
That's when you get the presents.
Right? Yeah. And we're hustling around to parties and to basketball games and hockey games and concerts and plays and parades, which are all absolutely lovely. But I think we end up feeling exhausted by the time we get to Christmas
Day. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just this past weekend, we did two parades, a play, you know, and dinner out and fireworks. And it's just like, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways, so what is Advent? We're supposed to be anticipating the birth or the coming of Jesus. Now we're going to get super nerdy. Okay. Ready?
Wait, is this the part where we get to talk about Bonhoeffer?
No, not yet. Not yet. We're going to do a little bit of Latin work
here. Okay, sorry.
So
don't quiz me, please.
Advent, if you want to go to the Latin root, is adventus.
Okay.
Which is the arrival or coming of someone. Mm-hmm. Now, we could think way back to Jesus' time where the adventus, the advent, would usually be someone coming into town to proclaim that someone is coming, like a Roman governor or someone big that you should know about is coming. Like there would be a herald out there telling the town square. Yeah, listen.
Hark, someone's coming.
Someone is coming.
Okay.
And so Advent for us is that time that we set aside to remember that Christ came and will come again. And so it's this now but not yet tension of Jesus coming and recognizing Jesus has come, but how are we called to live into the future of what God is up to? So there we are.
We're hearing a siren outside.
I was going to say, am I actually hearing
that? I think it's the first Monday of the month when we're recording.
Yeah.
So that's what that noise is we're hearing. Yes. You're probably not hearing it, listeners.
I don't
know. Now we're hearing it.
Yeah. We'll find out.
So, Heather.
Yes.
Who is, who was Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
You know, I really hope I can have a good answer for this because I did take a class in seminary about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor, theologian. You could tell me what year he was born, but he, I want to say that again?
1906.
Okay, I was going to say around the turn of the century, 1900. And he was a pastor in Germany who has like lots of storylines. Like there's not just like one major storyline when you talk about him, right? Because you could talk about how he spent time in the United States and was in New York and attended Union Seminary and got involved in a black church in Harlem and learned like took these great lessons from that. So like that's one of his storylines, right? And then but the main thing that we think of when we think of Bonhoeffer was that he was a pastor in Germany at the time when Hitler and the Nazis were on the rise. And he saw the German church as being complicit with the Nazis. And so he and some other colleagues created a seminary that was away from that system. And kind of, what was it? The Professing Church? Is that what that was called?
Confessing Church.
Confessing Church. That they kind of created this other, not quite denomination, but they protested against the influence of the Nazis on the German church and saw that that relationship was really toxic. And in the end, he ended up being martyred and was killed by the Nazis just before the liberation of Germany and the end of World War II. And now the sirens outside are waning. They're going down. Okay.
And I'll also add that he was kind of like a... Okay. Theologically, he went from an extreme pacifist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To being complicit in assassination attempts right. on Hitler.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a guy that literally would preach on nonviolence all the time to being a double agent
yeah.
for the Allies. He was embedded in the, was it the SS? I can't remember. But it was he had some sort of intelligence level. And he would be a courier to other countries to pass along information and things like this. So Hitler, I think it was, I can't remember who told me this. It could be completely wrong. But if you've seen the movie Valkyrie with Tom Cruise, there's an assassination attempt on Hitler in the opening scene. And someone told me once, it was a pastor friend, said like Hitler, like Bonhoeffer was the one telling people, hey, he's going to be here. Here's where they're vulnerable.
Sure.
Sort of thing. So he was this courier of information that tried to assassinate Hitler.
Mm-hmm. Which is different from pacifism.
Yeah.
That is not nonviolence.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so Heather, you took a class on Bonhoeffer.
I did.
And what sort of books did you read, or what were some of his works that you...
So he wrote a lot.
Big nerd he was.
Big nerd. Mm-hmm. So we read a lot of his letters. He was imprisoned for quite a while. And so there's a lot of letters between him and his wife and him and his best friend, Eberhard.
Yep.
Is that
yep.
his name? Yeah. And then also a lot of letters from when he was in the U.S. and communicating with his family. We read a lot of letters that he wrote. But then he also wrote, I mean, what else did he write? He didn't write books, per se. I mean, they're collected in books now, but they're more like collections of his writings.
Yeah, I think he had a couple books, but most of them are collections, or they're shorter. Like, he wrote Ethics.
Yes. I've got that one.
If you want to try to understand Bonhoeffer, Ethics is his go-to.
Mm-hmm.
When they had the seminary opened for the Confessing Church in Finkenwald, it was Life Together.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So he wrote a lot of essays.
Yeah.
Is what, mm-hmm. yes, Life Together and Freedom of a Christian. No.
That was Luther.
That was Luther. Yeah.
No.
What I know what you're thinking? Talking about.
What am I talking about?
You'll have to check your library at home.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've got a bunch of Bonhoeffer books. No.
Yeah.
You're right. That was Luther, huh?
Mm-hmm. No, but it's going to come to us right after we're done recording. But Luther, Bonhoeffer wrote a ton.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
an obnoxious amount because he was so stinking smart. He got his doctorate when he was really young. I can't remember how young, but like
21.
Yeah, 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 somewhere in there. It's like that's not normal.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? I am 28 and I got my doctorate when I was like 15.
Obviously.
Duh.
Obby. So this series, we're gonna try to talk about the intersection of Bonhoeffer and some of his writings, as well as the season of Advent. So how do these two connect? And there is a book out there. It's a collection of some of his writings, as well as a little devotion. So the book is called God is in the Manger, if you want to pick it up. It can be found anywhere, I think.
Do we have that in our library here, do you know?
That's a good question. We'll get back to you for episode 2.
Yeah.
I have it in my office if anyone wants to borrow it. And in the next couple episodes, we'll take a look at some of those excerpts. But we just want to set the table right now to discuss why these relate. And so, as Heather mentioned, a lot of his writings were from sermons, letters to loved ones and from prison. Yeah.
So I was just Googling the famous writing, The Cost of Discipleship.
Oh, how could we forget?
That was the Bonhoeffer writing that was really.
Freedom of Christian, Cost of Discipleship.
Similar, but yeah. So he in Cost of Discipleship, he talked about costly grace and
cheap grace.
Cheap grace. Sure. Yep. Okay, I got it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but it's important because, Bonhoeffer just rails against cheap grace. And it has to be costly. There's a cost to God's grace, and it's to God, not for us. Or not by us. Anyways, okay, here we go. I am deeply interested in this topic this year because I went to a fall theological gathering that we had earlier this year for the Synod, and Professor David Fredrickson, recently retired from Luther Seminary, presented a brand new way of thinking about the Gospel of Mark and how Mark is not this typical presenting Jesus as a superhero sort of thing that we usually get when Jesus is preaching and teaching and healing, but instead Jesus as this one who meets people in suffering and pain. And so I'm going to just condense it all down, and I'm not going to do it justice, but there's this idea that Jesus heals people's whatever when Jesus performs a miracle in the Gospel of Mark. But he doesn't heal the emotional and spiritual pain they've been experiencing. Jesus heals the physical whatever that's going on. And all of these happen out in Galilee. Now, when Jesus is resurrected, the angel, Jesus doesn't appear, but the angel says, oh, he's gone ahead of you to Galilee. As in, Jesus is continuing the work of restoring these people. That was just the beginning. And so that's why it's so important in the Gospel of Mark that it states this is the beginning of the good news. That like this whole Jesus thing doesn't end. It continues on out there in Galilee. Jesus is back out there continuing to do the work of healing people in that spiritual, emotional sense.
Okay.
And so Bonhoeffer is writing in that sense where he needs Jesus. He's waiting for that Advent. He's in that Advent season. He's Jesus to meet him in that spiritual and emotional low. A lot of these writings that we've talked about are from prison. Now, Bonhoeffer is a brilliant guy, deeply faithful, but he's in prison waiting to die. And he needs Jesus to come and provide some sort of healing and balm to his hurting heart. So this whole, the Greek word ekthrombos, this meeting, he's looking at me like, oh, you're a nerd.
No. I'm listening and I'm just, it's my initial thought was not you're a nerd. My initial thought was, that's such a fun word.
So, but this ekthrombos is this feeling of, it's like if you've ever leaned back in a chair and you've fallen and it's like, the rug has been swept up out of your feet. There's this feeling of zero control, nothingness, that the world you know is crumbling apart. This is where Jesus enters in. Or at least that's what the Gospel of Mark is arguing. So I want to explore how is God entering into that for Bonhoeffer and perhaps for us? When the world as you know it, in this apocalypse, right, where everything we know is changing, how does God enter into that? And for you, listener, beloved listener out there, it might be a recent diagnosis of an illness. It might be the loss of a job. It might be just that your life has sped up with whatever your circumstances, that it's not the same. And how do you navigate this new normal?
Right.
So how is God meeting you in that ekthrombos, that feeling of everything is out of place? And that gets pretty deep pretty quick. And I think the church glosses over the season of Advent to get to the Holly Jolly Merry Christmas, Norman Rockwell, Hallmark movie. When we can dwell in this a little bit, this is a deeply pastoral time to care for one another. So it's time for a very Bonhoeffer Christmas.
Well, okay, so you talking about apocalypse and like, you know, thinking about the world is about to turn, right? It makes me, what's that song?
Yep.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Not that one.
Canticle of the Turning.
Canticle of the Turning, that one.
Oh, that's a really good one,
the
too.
The world is about to turn. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hearing you say, Tom, talking about apocalypse makes me think about kind of during COVID times when, you know, we're all at home, and how I had conversations with people over Zoom because I was stuck in my house about how it felt really apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. In the way that an apocalypse is like an unveiling and showing what there really is, and showed how people really felt about each other and how our society really functioned, and how it felt like this, there was like an unmasking, mm-hmm, of like society, where we could really see what the truth was. I don't know. But in those conversations, it felt like there was a lot of hope in those conversations, yeah, because it was, right. We can't like cover up things anymore. We have to like look at what's real, mm-hmm, and address those things and say like, okay, turns out we weren't caring for one another very well. So like, we need to be real about that, mm-hmm, and figure out what that means. And there, I mean, and when there's hope like that, I mean, that's where God is, mm-hmm, is in that hope and in that future for, okay, what does this mean for us? And where is God in all of this? And maybe we can't ignore where God is leading us, mm-hmm, anymore. So that apocalypse that you're talking about with Bonhoeffer and yeah, that just makes me think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like, I mean, we're running low on time now. And so this feels like just a tease.
Yeah.
Right. Of like, okay, we've talked about Bonhoeffer now and kind of set the stage. And we know that Bonhoeffer spent time in jail, mm-hmm, and is thinking about like, where is God in all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean for us in Advent? So we're going to dive into that more in our next episode.
Next episode, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to leave it there.
Perfect.
And cool. Thinking about, okay, where is God in all the,
yeah,
in the waiting, in the,
yeah,
prison and all of that. So.
Cool. I love it.
All right.
All right. Well, Tom had to go do something because hashtag church life. So he's out of here. So I'll just say thank you guys so much for listening. And we will be back next week with more of a very Bonhoeffer Christmas.
Yeah.
My bad.
Stay
Bonhoeffer
tuned. Bonhoeffer. Yeah. Let's get into this.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.